You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get to people. With your life
running like a red disease,
I'm running like a red disease. Get to people,
stop giving up yourself,
stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Young, you got to learn to love yourself. Get to people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend, and hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, you will get it done, and you will do it safely. You'll be masked up. You'll keep that distance. Your hands going to be clean. You'll make sure that everything is done right so you can continue on as a warrior in this fight for African sovereignty. That's right. That's what it's all about. What are you talking about? What's the end game? That's the end game. That's right. African sovereignty. That's what it's all about. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you go to timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, and it's pretty updated. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. This program, and all times are going to give our Eastern Times. On Monday, from 6 to 8 p.m., from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. That's followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. That is followed by, from 9 p.m. to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesday from 8 to 10. On Thursday, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwai Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters. Time for an Awakening this evening at 8 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 4 p.m. to 6, from 4 to 6 on Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 p.m., from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The products are produced by us. Go to WeBuyBlack.com and support by ordering products. Also, too, give donation to the reality of a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. That's right, brothers and sisters. We do not have a supermarket owned by us in the Atlanta metro area. 6 million people. And we don't.
sad, pathetic. So let's make that a reality. But even more importantly, let's make supermarkets and things that we need in our communities, wherever we are, particularly of number, in Cleveland, in Milwaukee, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Dallas, wherever our numbers are, on the East Coast, Baltimore, D.C., we need to have businesses. We need to have supermarkets. We need to have everything that we need, we should have. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Our good brother Bomani Taimba has been taking our people to the motherland for many years, over 400. And on his website, Africa for the Africans, you can go there and you get all the information you need for a trip of a lifetime. The upcoming tour is Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd through the 12th. The following, it will be in May 24th to June 5th, to Ghana. Then in November 18th through the 29th, Tanzania. And then at the end of the year, December 24th to January 5th, 2022, once again in Ghana. Just a $400 deposit down and continue to pay on it, and it will become a reality for you to go to the motherland. And believe me, when you go online and you go to facebook.com/Bomani and see the pictures that are there and the pictures that are on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Or you can go see videos at youtube.com/Bomani2007. So you see what this brother has done and you see yourself on a tour to the motherland. That's right. That's right. Baba Rinoko Rashidi. Baba Rinoko has the third part of the series that he was doing, the webinar, Nile Valley Series, A Journey to Nubia, Nile Valley, A Journey to the Nubians. That's this evening. Let me start all over, family. Brother, no, sir. That is March 26th and 27th. Friday, March 26th, and Saturday, March 27th, A Journey to the Nubia. That's with Rinoko. And it's a Zoom. So go to Rinoko.com. Dr. Rinoko. Dr. Drunoko.com. And that's on the homepage, you'll see. Also to Dr. Rinoko. He has a tour upcoming in August. August 1st through the 14th. Going to Kemet, his annual Kemet tour, and also has a new book coming out, The Black Image in Antiquity. The Black Image in Antiquity. So there's a lot of good stuff on his page. So please, dear brothers and sisters, check out drinoko.com and the upcoming webinar series on Nubia. All right. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africa Establish Schools at Home and Abroad. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. The Habesha program is, and you know, as a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. And you know, what they're doing is just fantastic. You know, when you go to the website and you see the Kashi Project in Ghana, the beauty of it, and it's moving, it's happening. When you see the programs that it has, Habesha Works, Black Tar Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Urban Green Jobs, Golden Growers. When you learn about the Kashi Project is named in honor of world-renowned Ghanaian ethnobotanist Dr. A. Kwaku Adu. Dr. Adu was dedicated to research in ethnobotany and traditional medicine, and he was dedicated to Ghana. Kashi Project will promote sacred space for researching the ancient traditions of sustainable housing, holistic healing, and organic agriculture. In the footsteps of Dr. Adu, we are committed to our people, Ghana, and sustainability through natural resources. In order to make Kashi a reality for the community and for our people, we are raising $250,000 through various fundraising efforts. Habesha is committed to doing our part to build the Kashi in Africa, but we can't do it alone, so we need your help. There are almost at 125,000, so there's still much to go. And of course, the project is ongoing. It's going to be a reality. It is going to be a reality, family. And you're going to help to make it. I hope so. That's HabeshaIncorporated.org. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Program. TheLedgeGroup.com. Go to TheLedgeGroup.com. Ledge, land for environmental development of group economics. And of course, they have the four areas of human development that are vital and a necessity. That is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They're providing for our brothers and sisters working. They have 12 active projects in over six countries with over 170 people employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group, Ledge, theledgegroup.com, and check it out and see for yourself, the Ledge Group. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the Atlanta area. Go to Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They have delicious drinks and all kinds of good stuff. They also have a vendor on the weekends that will serve vegan meals. So, I mean, you know, Wadada's is happening. It's right across the street from Soul Veg, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. I believe the Shrine is open on weekends, on Fridays and Saturdays, from 1 to 7. Okay? The Shrine is right on. All these places are right on Ralph David Abernathy in the West End. Mama Nia. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. She's on the main thoroughfares there. Still right around the corner from where she was, from the food court. She has an outstanding selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, you name it. It's happening at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Medu means writing. There's a word that goes after Medu, and that's Netcher. Netcher means God. The writings of the gods, the Medu Netcher. The Greeks called it the hieroglyphs, but it was the Medu Netcher, the writings of the gods, power writing. And there's power in the writing of the books that we should select to read to expand our vision, broaden ourselves, infuse us with knowledge of self. Right there at the Greenbrier Mall at the Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. I talked yesterday to my good brother, Brother Gazimde Ajamu, over at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Great thing that he's doing over there. Has all kinds of things happening. His coffee bar, he's serving delicious coffee, various types of coffee. He's going to have a tasting this month. He's going to have a tasting, and it's going to be outstanding. I'll try to pull that up and get that up by the time we get off. But, yeah, he has a tasting, and it's going to be a wide variety of African coffees. You know, not just the delicious Cameroon boil that I love, but another, you know, Ghanaian, Zantania. Gosh, Oshi, get it together. Can you talk today? Damn. From Tanzania, the delicious coffees that come out of there in Kenya. So, yeah. So check out the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. Their Thursday night broadcast last night on blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, blogtalkradio.com /ULU every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern from 9 to 10. Us lifting us. The number to call is 929. If you want to call to listen or if you want to call because you have a question or comment, call, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. Their conferences this weekend. It begins with libation. It begins with with me pouring libation. That's right. And as the kickoff of the program, you can join it. Go to Us Lifting Us. Go to Us Lifting Us. And that's spelled out. Usliftingus.com and get the information to get hook up with the Zoom conference that they're going to have this weekend. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative of our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Let me just say this quickly. Of all the things, I mean, they're all vital. They're all important. This is equally as important, us pulling our resources, us pulling our money together to do things collectively. That's what must be done. So check it out, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth number 225. And for more information, call our good sister, Shelly Amonsette, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. They made a good commercial. I think I mentioned that Wednesday. I need to get that. I'd like to play that. That was pretty slick. Sounded good. Sanjay-Aiti, sanjay-aiti.org. Our good sister Gabby, I just can't say enough. When you go on that website and you pull out sanjay-aiti.org and you see those beautiful children in their uniform all in class, you see the health care that they provide, you see the sustainable agriculture, you see the entrepreneurship, all of these things in the northeastern corner, in the rural area, the mountain area of Haiti. Sanjay-aiti. Sanjay-aiti. .org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Akabin Institute. Brothers and sisters, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti need your support. Go to send your cash or check. Send your check or money order to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But, of course, you can use Cash App and PayPal and send a constant donation if that's what you can do and it's amenable for you to do. It would be greatly appreciated if you did. That is to Cash App, the $ YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and you can make an ongoing donation. If you want any of the books by Baba Baruti, go to AkabinHouse.com. But, of course, Baba Baruti's books are sold here in the Atlanta area at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, as well as the Medu Bookstore and at the Shrine Bookstore. Yeah, well, in the Shrine. If you can make it there today from 1 to 7 on Friday and 1 to 7 on Saturday, the Shrine has just a multitude of things in the Shrine of furniture, artwork, jewelry, clothing, books, the Nagash shoes, the red, black, and green shoes, you name it, they got it. Yeah, they doing it. They doing it at the Shrine, y'all. All right. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The reason why I'm taking my time of doing all of this, because I would be trying to get through this very quickly, because our guest has been detained. He emailed me and texted me that something has come up, but he will be on in the second hour. So I apologize. And I'm quite sure you know, if he could. It's the second, you know, we're trying to do. But believe me, Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele is well worth the wait. He's a good brother and very knowledgeable brother, and I look forward to, you know, talking with him and on a consistent basis. So, you know, just sometimes you just got to be patient, you know? You got to be patient. It's the Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. March 11th. Men and women who are comfortable in chaos and selfishness have no concern with embracing any form of discipline. Bakari Atiba. Discipline is power. It is the warrior's way. For without discipline, the determination to do right, to do the right thing becomes easily compromised by distractions which grow into seemingly insurmountable obstacles and keeps one's true power just slightly above one's grasp. In the Western reality, vices are so much easier to practice and lose oneself in their virtues. It is a child's world designed to be lacking in any meaningful, lasting focus and self-control. In virtuous reality requires internalized self-discipline. In a virtuous reality, it requires internalized self-discipline. It demands hard work and is honest work. So warrior, never stop doing what needs to be done. For only in this way will you find discipline. And no, because of the insanity and intensity, all pervasiveness and normalization of any alien way among African people, that you will spend a lifetime fighting within which is non-African. For warrior, this is the true development of discipline. This is the ultimate test of character in this reality. Ashe. I embrace self-discipline. Affirm. I embrace self-discipline. You know, me take this time since we're on this. I often say, you know, when you watch TV sometimes, and they'll say that somebody, you know, and they're going to discipline him, you know. Discipline is self-imposed order, and I just read it here. It talks about how important discipline is. In fact, as Baba Rudy states in his narrative to the quote by Baraka Atiba, that discipline is power. Because to be able to maintain your sanity and your grip and your reality, that's power. That's power over the insanity that you're bombarded with on a 24/7, 365 basis. Discipline. And I hate that the society uses the word discipline when they mean punishment. If you were enrolled in school, particularly in a university or college, whatever, they call the studies what? They call them disciplines. They don't call them punishments. They call them disciplines because you, as a student, must be disciplined enough to go through the rigors in the studies of whatever classes that you have, whatever subjects that you have. Discipline. Discipline is self-imposed order. When you don't impose order on yourself, society imposes order on you, and that's why this society, it lacks that. They build prisons. They build prisons. So understand, discipline is good. And so when you hear some announcers, especially like on the sports, somebody done some wrong there, they'll be disciplined. No, they'll be punished. Because if they had discipline, that wouldn't happen. Discipline is self-imposed order. As Baba Rudy said, discipline is power. Well, you know, I know that I've talked about that and we explained that on this program a number of times, what power is. Power is the ability to define reality. Then have someone else. See, I don't like that part of the quote from Dr. Wade Nobles. Because for African people, I love the part where we define, shape reality in our image and in our interest. So power is the ability to define reality. So we define the reality for ourselves in our image, in our interests. And we don't want to impose that reality on nobody. And see, that's what Europeans have done. Europeans went around the world and they defined the reality. And they made others accept their reality as if it's their own. Everywhere the European went, they didn't come to bargain. They didn't come to trade. They didn't come to do nothing. They came to take and to impose and to displace. That's not power. Power is the ability to define reality for ourselves, and that's what we must do. And in order for us to do that, brothers and sisters, we must be what? Disciplined. We must be disciplined. That means that we have order in our lives, that we know the difference between what is right and wrong, and we always do what is right. We always think before we act. We're never impulsive. We handle our business. We are disciplined. March 12th. Our ancestors' pain runs through our veins. Our ancestors' pain runs through our veins. Be original king. They've forced us out of our spirituality, and now we have succumbed to their religion. They turned us against our melanin, and now we worship its absence. They led us to be ashamed of our origins, and now we claim sources anywhere except home. They punished us into a fear of true drumming, and now we have given them our circle. They starved us and then fed us wasted food, and now we are replenished by, now we are repulsed by fruits, vegetables, and herbs. They have trained us to crave being inside an artificial experience, and now we are afraid to go out and be touched by nature. We have moved from possession to dispossession and life to death. Affirm, I feel what my ancestors felt. Affirmed, I feel what my ancestors felt. This one is a deep one, isn't it? They forced us out of our spirituality, and now we have succumbed to their religion. That's why I'm saying to us, for those who are religious, for those who are in Christianity, for those who are in Islam, for those who are in Black Hebrew Israel, whatever you're in, and that's all right for you to be in those. But what is most important for us as African people is that we embrace who we are as African people. So regardless of the religion you have, don't proselytize. Don't try to impose. Understand what's most important for us is us being unified. This program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Our motto is unify or die. Pan-Africanism or perish. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. Brothers and sisters, there is no other way. There is no other way. Talking with a brother the other day, he was talking about a piece he did called, you know, trying to, trying to end things peacefully, come together. You know, we're all in this together. Remember that? Yeah, no, we ain't. We ain't in this together. They turn us against our melanin, and now we worship its absence. We worship being high yellow. We worship being white. We bleach our skin across this god. We bleach our skin to the detriment of us. They led us to be ashamed of our origins, and now we claim sources anywhere except home. We're trying our best to get out of Africa when the most important place for us to be, Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora, particularly Africans that have something to give, is in Africa, to be in Africa, to work with Africans. Get rid of the despots. Get rid of the neocolonialists. Get rid of all those interlopers. Get rid of all the people that are there. It is in Africa is where we need to be. They punished us into the fear of true drumming, and now we have given them our circle. When I read that, I went to a cookout in Milwaukee at a nice-sized park. It was the Nigerians, and they had Caucasians drumming. They had Caucasians in African attire drumming and dancing. Damn. They have starved us and then fed us waste called food, and now we're repulsed by fruits and vegetables and herbs and so forth. We reject it. They have trained us to crave being inside an artificial experience, and now we're afraid to go out and be touched by nature. We have moved from possession to being dispossession. We move from life to death. That's a deep Inye Sesem, family. That's why I agree. I felt what our ancestors have felt. March 13th. Sankofa practitioners understand that African deculturalization is essentially for African miseducation. And the cure for African miseducation is to read, discuss, study, learn, and then use the lessons of African history along with the best of African culture as offensive weapons in the war against the European or Arab colonial outposts implanted in the African mind, in the African psyche. To decolonize the African mind, African freedom seekers must destroy their deeply rooted, interconnected networks of internalized European or Arab values and beliefs. These are the invisible chains of mental slavery that for centuries have allowed Europeans and Arabs to manipulate and control us. First, as captives, and then as religious converts, and now as pseudo-citizens. Of course, pseudo is false. False citizens. Sankofa practice is an indispensable weapon in the war of decolonization or to re-Africanize the African mind. Uhuru Hotep. Consciousness does not sleep. Day and night, we become more aware of their moves to destroy us. You see their psychopathic, genocidal insanity. You see our reactive, suicidal death wish. It outrages and angers us to see our families blindly, willingly rush toward a Caucasian death. For awakening Africans, consciousness does not bring peace. It brings the war to your doorsteps. However, for menticidal Africans, ignorance sustains a captive's bliss. Ignorance. And understand something. Ignorance is in itself, it just means absence of knowledge. You're ignorant. That don't mean you're stupid. That means you don't know. And of course, we've been trained not to know and not to want to know. They want us to be ignorant. But once you pick up a book, once you listen to a presentation, or once you engage yourself with like-minded brothers and sisters who are not ignorant, but who are knowledgeable of the knowledge of self, now you begin to wake up. Affirm, Sankofatizing myself and other willing Africans is my life's work and aspiration. Bringing ones to Sankofa. Sankofanizing myself and other willing Africans is my life's work and aspiration. That's true for me. I mean, I dedicate my life to. This is something that I've dedicated my life to. Trying to present this information to our people so we can wake up. So we can begin to love ourselves and love each other. Now, I didn't mention Bibi Atumi. Yeah. Let me mention Bibi Atumi, because I forget, you know? Sometimes I do. I forget. I know they have a Saturday afternoon program, you know, and I'm going to give you that information. And in fact, brothers and sisters, you should go to bibiatumi.com. Bibi Atumi, ABIBITUMI.com, and become a member of Bibi Atumi. You will see that, you know, you will want to come on that page more so than any other, especially if you're an African-centered person. I'm still trying to navigate. I'm still trying to navigate, you know. The presentation tomorrow is at 9 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 a.m. Pacific. Politicians, prostitutions, and the Ghanaian United Snakes military base agreement. In this discussion, Obatala Kamban shows that from George Washington to Henry Kissinger, the United Snakes policy is one of cold-blooded, snake-like unilateralism. We then present research on how the U.S. routinely violates treaties, pacts, and agreements, focusing on three case studies: the 1993 Chemical Weapons Convention, the 1963 Geneva Convention on Council on Foreign Relations, and the obligation to pay annual dues under the Charter of the United Nations by numerous other treaty violations. We demonstrate that the U.S. does not keep its word and that its tradition continues with, yes, Joe Biden. It definitely did that with Donald Trump, but it will continue with Joe Biden. It is what the United States is. You know, doesn't make any difference between Democrat or Republican. They'll still bomb your ass. In fact, when you really know it, that the Democrat and the Republican are just different wings of the same filthy, nasty ass bird. It certainly did not start with them. We conclude that the significance of the U.S. treaty violates as a whole and the significance in the broader context of bargaining with a demonstratively unilateral rogue nation like the United Snakes. Ghana and her people and her future, using Brown and Wilson's The Snake as a conceptual framework. That's tomorrow. And you can go to bibiatumi.com and you can become a member or download that information to be a part of that. So like I said, my guests, we were going to be engaged in some excellent conversation. Willing to make this show happen. If you got anything on your mind, I see we have a number of people. Hit star twice. If you hit star twice, I'll let you in and let's have some conversation. He will be here after the 12 o'clock hour, at least about 12:20 or so, and then we can continue on with the discussion. All right, 602. Good morning.
Yes, Brother Oshie.
Hi, Brother Marcus. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Good, brother.
Good.
There is a disturbing situation developing in East Africa, which we need to bring to the front before this situation explodes. Now, you know, Ethiopia is building a dam. And actually is damming up the Nile River that originates in Ethiopia and Uganda. However, Egypt is claiming, saying that she can't build that dam. You know, they're having some conflict because Egypt is claiming, putting claim to the Nile. Now, what is happening is that now Egypt and Sudan have signed a military pact, to buffer what Ethiopia is trying to do. Even though Sudan would benefit from that dam because she would get electricity from Egypt, from Ethiopia. She would be able to draw electricity from Ethiopia if that dam is built. But being that Egypt don't want the dam built, Egypt and Sudan has signed now a military pact that can develop into a war situation, because we have to remember that Trump had told Egypt to bomb that plant.
I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah. Trump had told Egypt they should bomb that dam. Now, Sudan should be ashamed of themselves. You see, and it shows you the leadership in Sudan, that military leadership along with the civilians. I think it's more coming from the military, military leadership in Sudan. You see, because they want to have favorite status with America, so they are siding with Egypt to go against it. We should bring this to the forefront and let Sudan know, no. You should not do that, Sudan, okay? You should not side with these Arabs against your own
African people. Yeah.
Your neighbor.
Well, see, that's one of the problems with the Sudan is that, and that's why the creation of South Sudan had to be created, because of the mindset of the Sudanese. They believe that they're Arabs. They don't believe that they're African. They don't even believe that they're dark. They believe they're white. That's how.
But you know what happened? The latest coup that they had when they overthrew Bashir, they got rid of that. It's no longer the Arab Republic of Sudan, you know. It's now the Republic of Sudan.
Okay.
You see, because the element, they said, look, we don't want this Arab influence into our business, you see? Mm-hmm. So, actually, the South Sudanese won out because they said, we said, look, we don't want no Arab Republic here. We are Africans. So they said, this is the Republic of Sudan. You see, but I think it's coming mainly from, they even went to the point where the Sudan pardoned that man, Musa Khalil, who was killing black people. The Janjaweed was killing black people. And Sudan went and pardoned this guy. He said he was killing black people. Mm-hmm. So again, we have to do not wait until this thing explodes, because we know we're trying to unify Africa, but they are working diligently behind the scene to disrupt and ensure that Egypt is not with Africa either. Because if Egypt is doing that, them people not with us. You see? So, you know, I really wish that we could highlight some of this and bring this to the front before the situation explode.
I agree.
Anyway, I just had to say that.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll keep my ears open and see who else is talking about this. And we have some level of expertise to talk about this and what's happening, what we can do. You know, if there's anything that we can do to influence the situation from not happening like that. You know, that's the thing about what's happening, Brother Mark, is that we need, as African people globally, all of these insurrections, all of these little wars and petty differences, they need to be squashed. We need to take care of this. They need to be squashed. We, as African people, need to be unified. You know, if there's an issue about damming in Ethiopia that will cause some problems for Egypt or problems for the Sudan, then those need to be discussed and be worked out. You see?
Well, Ethiopia is willing to talk. Ethiopia said, look, this is a family affair. So we want to sit down with Sudan and Ethiopia and we solve this problem internally because this is a family issue. However, Egypt is saying, no, we don't want that. We want to bring in the United States, the EU, and the UN into the conversation.
No.
You see?
No.
You see?
Yeah.
Egypt doing that because Egypt gets support. She gets financial and military support from America.
Yeah.
And then if, then Sudan, you see, she just got a little break. So she wants to be in favor with America. So she's siding with Egypt. See?
Yeah.
We have to stop that and let these people know we see what the hell they're doing and we're not going for it.
Well, we
anyway,
need
good brother.
Thank you. Well, brother Marcus, thank you for bringing that to our attention and we'll continue to look at that. Peace, my brother.
All
thank
right.
you. Have a good weekend. Yeah. 646-646. Good morning.
Oshiosh, what's happening, brother?
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Well, I tell you.
Good brother Marcus, I hope all is well. And unfortunately, you know, our brothers always got to come to the daddy, begging them to intercede,
yeah.
and things that could be solved amongst ourselves
right.
because of our love of this stinking, filthy, no good cracker.
Yeah.
Maybe one day before me and you leave this planet, we'll see a change in that direction on how we interface with this no good, filthy, stinking cracker. It's just amazing, man.
Yeah.
It really is. Like I've said, I have now come to the conclusion that we are the condom of the world, definitely for the white man to go around and do his thing and just toss us aside when he's finished using us to protect what is his interest and against our own.
Yeah.
One day we'll figure it out because we as a people, it's not getting no better.
No, and it's not. And it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. It's going to continue to get worse.
Yeah.
Because number
one. All over the planet.
Yeah. Because number one.
Because white man.
Because he.
No one else.
Because the Europeans' numbers are dwindling. His numbers are dwindling. He's got to find ways to maintain and sustain the privilege he created for himself, that power he created for himself, and how can he do it? How can he undermine and manipulate others to do his bidding so he can maintain that position and be the image for what the world looks at as stabilizing, as good, as governmental correctness, as economic freedom, all of that bull. The European want to maintain that position. And so what he does is manipulate and undermine all the other people of the world, the majority of the people of the world. You know, his numbers are constantly dwindling. Yeah.
Hey, OC, let me tell you something. Unfortunately, we don't realize this and we don't understand it, I don't think, as a collective people. But the Yorugu, the cracker, the devil, the white man, whatever you want to refer this to, if he ever thought he was really going to lose power, he'd blow this shit up and take nothing of it.
I always thought that.
That's his nature.
Yeah.
That's what he showed. That is what he has shown since he's come into the existence with any other people than himself.
Well, let me
say, he's never had a harmonious relationship with any other people than himself. There's no place.
He doesn't even have one with himself.
That's what I'm saying.
He's in constant internal conflict.
Yeah, but there's no place on the planet where any people have been living amongst harmony, governance of themselves and all things that a sovereign people have the right to do, that the cracker hasn't come in his midst it effed it all up. Murdered, raped, robbed, stole. Anything humane, the cracker has done it towards that people. I mean, the white man is the devil. Stop referring to him as a human being or anything else. The white man is the devil. That's just what he is.
Well, I mean,
I don't want to hear nothing about no good white people because you know why I don't want to hear nothing about no good white people? Because if you notice, think about this, OG, and your audience out there. Do you ever hear a good white man chastise that bastard? Do you ever hear a good white man stand up and say that the white man is filthy, stinking, no good, a cretin, a dog, an inhumane human being who need to be put to death with a South African burning necktie all day, every day? Have you ever heard the white man stand up and say about the things that this man has done on the planet that is humane? Nah.
You've heard some say little things,
but sure, not totally condemn the filthy cracker for what the hell he is.
Exactly, because they benefit from that privilege. Yep. They benefit. I mean, they may acknowledge some injustices, some things that the European or Caucasian has done, that Uruku has done, that they know is just terrible, you know, and they'll call it out. But all in all, you know, what the European has done has been a benefit to European people. You know, like I said, they made war amongst themselves because they are very war-mongering people. That's who and what they are. They've continued to fight.
That's what they are.
If, you know,
they're war-mongering to the bitter, to the bitter end. They can't live. They can't live in peace and harmony. It's just not in their nature. Look at all of the things that they enjoy, that they like. Is some form of a death sacrifice that's not life-giving. How do you justify going to another continent to kill an animal to be able to bring back as a trophy? You got to be one sick mofo. I mean, you really got to be sick mofo to kill an animal for pleasure, not to eat. Yeah. You got to be real sick, man.
Well, that's the mindset of the European. He has always believed that he is above all things. All things on the planet. He is above all
things. That's why he came up with his God concept.
You know,
that's why he can rape, murder, enslave you, and then give you a God. You got to be a dumbass to believe in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, you got a lot of them that are. But, hey, Oshie, your guest is coming on today?
Yes, he is. He's going to be coming on in about a half hour, Brother Akinyele. And I look forward to it and his coming back on because something came up in the Newark school system that he had to deal with. So he had texted me.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, you know, this whole situation. Oh, this is what I had to ask you right quick. Did you get your vaccination yet?
Negative. No, I did not. Negative. I know I'm old enough. I know I have a precondition.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I fit those criteria.
They looking for your black ass to get it. I have a friend of mine who's a school teacher. I think he's around 42, 43, something like that. 45. Well, he got his vaccination. Now, you know the thing that gets me always, and I really hope at some point in time you would discuss this and further deal with the manipulation and the brainwashing that the Negro does to us. Do you notice how other than Elliot, Carl Nelson, Dr. Haleem hasn't been on these other black platforms talking about.
You're not going to have anybody that does not promote and push the vaccine. You're not going to have anybody on any of the networks. You know, even some of the radio stations, terrestrial radio stations, you're not going to have them on there. You just like you said. Now, Carl Nelson's program is broadcast terrestrially across the country, you know. But And he might have had some flack by having Dr. Leem on, you know.
Oh, of course he has.
You know.
Of course he has. He may not admit to it.
Right.
But of course he has. Have you noticed that, you know, a guest that's been on Elliot's show in a number of recent times, the Minister of Wellness?
Yeah.
Do you know that YouTube totally shut down his channel?
Yes, I do, because I tried it. Yeah, yes. The Minister of Wellness is on point. He is on point.
I mean,
They shut him down.
You know, even though he had the spookism on a certain level because of his love for the Sky Daddy and all of that bullshit. But the point is, the information that he's given should be, you know, investigated. It's just like the whole thing with Dr. Aleem. The information that he's given should be, you know, processed and investigated looked into. Because let me just say this. If you think about it, why would I ever trust the United States government but have so much hatred for the Cuban people? From my understanding, they haven't had the type of outbreaks that we've had in regards to the virus. And that the
no other country in the world has had the outbreaks that the United States has had. It is ridiculous. This country professes to be the most advanced country medically, with facilities beyond compare, so to speak. And yet this country, more people have been infected and more people have died and continue to be so. Yes, this country, along with a few other European countries, but there are other, you know, Chinese developed a vaccine. Cuba's developed a vaccine. There are others. But the Western countries, AstraZeneca in Europe, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna here. And there's other. And listen, Jaden, I want to see a program where they say this is what's in this vaccine.
Nope.
I want to see a program and say, yeah, this is a synthetic vaccine, and this is what's in it, and these are the things that will, you know. And then all these other vaccines, all these other makers.
Will be years later.
Yeah.
You don't even know because there's no research or anything like that. Here it is. You got these Negroes trying to convince you to take a goddamn vaccination that you don't even know with the antibodies or all of the things that are in the vaccine will deal with you years from now.
So, I played that.
I mean, get out of here.
Did you listen to the program where I had the brother? I played him. I don't know the brother's name, but I got that. Some was sent to me. It's outstanding. It was about a 40-minute piece where he talked about it. He said, hey, I'm going to tell you what you can do. You don't have to take this back. This is what you can do holistically. Number one thing was get some sun. Get some vitamin D. Get some vitamin D. Be healthy. Eat healthy. Keep your environment clean. Be that. That's the same thing as what Aleem Muhammad is talking about. All the people are talking about it to you to don't get this vaccine. Turn yourself over to a more holistic and more healthy environment and what you eat and how you live. Yes, keep a mask on, no doubt, because it's out there. Yes, keep your distance, especially from crowds where there are people who don't have masks and people coughing and hacking. Yes. But the reality is that you must do for yourself what you must do. On this program, Jay, I've never told anybody to not take it or to take it. I never told anybody about this is a fallacy. No. What I said is people are dying. I know now 15 people. I know personally 15 people who have died from this virus. Who have died. And so now my contention is, what do we have to do to remain healthy? What do we have to do to make sure that we don't catch this virus? Especially like for me, I've had respiratory problems. I've had pneumonia many times,
yeah,
and that's
too.
What it is. See, so we can't get this virus because my belief is that if I got the virus, I'd go down fast. There are still people.
But my whole question is, why are you pushing this, but you never discuss or talk about alternatives that are out there, like the whole
right.
thing that what Cuba is doing. Why don't you bring people on to
no.
give another alternative other than taking a virus that is not really based on saving people, but based on placing it in a situation where they can just
see, one of the
make
things,
money off of it.
One of
it,
the
ain't, it ain't about...
One of the things, Jay, one of the things that made it really bad for America is the American idea. The American idea of I'm an individual. What's most important is what's most important to me. I don't give a damn about nobody else. And so as a consequence, all the misinformation and disinformation that was out there initially, you know, people didn't want to wear masks. And even like right now, you have a number of states, Texas being one of them, Florida, what's the other one that said that they're going to open up to Arkansas, whatever. They're going to open up the whole state. But yet this thing is still raging. It's still spiking. This is ridiculous. They never truly got a handle on this. And one of the main problems, of course, was Trump. Trump has the leader
people
in this.
This thing is heading to the point, in all honesty, with the way that they're opening up some of these states. This whole pandemic is just going to spread probably even more.
Well, you know.
I'm going to be honest with you. Unfortunately, I know a lot of our people are going to suffer because of what's about to happen in Texas. But I'm just waiting for the pandemic to explode again. So then, you know what I mean, people could really get an idea on how these people are treating us as a community. But, just like you, I'm trying to be as safe as possible.
Yeah, definitely.
I know Brother Ralph has taken the Cuba product, you know, and, but he also, from what I know, he's also take the precaution to wear his mask and to do the necessary things to keep him safe.
Yes.
And Ralph out there in these streets more than any of us.
That's right.
If the truth be told, because you know the type of work that he does.
Exactly,
But the thing is, at least he's intelligent enough to know that, you know, he's not going to take no damn vaccination created by a cracker on a short-term lease, a short-term time period. I mean, it's crazy. Every other vaccination in this country has basically had years to develop. And here it is, we in a pandemic, and all of a sudden you can create some sugar honey iced tea.
Well, that's because
it's
synthetic.
And they ain't even giving us the product information.
That's because it's
totally
synthetic.
It's crazy. It's insanity.
I agree with you, but and that's what has never been presented. What is exactly in this vaccine? What is it that you have done? Explaining to us what you have done to counteract the coronavirus and its various variances, its mutations. What have you done? What exactly is in it? You know, what are the compounds?
Yeah.
All of that stuff. And it's never been
and
stated.
They're not telling us at all. Giving us no type of information. Hey, Ralph, could you log on for a quick second and explain to us, the people who are out here listening, what's going on with you in regards to taking the product from Cuba? You know, people would like to know, do you take it every day? Do you take it when you're going out? You know, give people an idea. Come on live, Ralphie boy.
Yeah, well, maybe Ralph is busy, but if he does, you know, to me, Ralph always has an open mic, man. Brother Ralph is a good dude. In fact, I'm on this program because of Brother Ralph, so, you know, I got mad love for him.
You tell us all the time.
I sure do. That's right.
I know.
But listen, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, hopefully my guest will be forthcoming, Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele, and more conversation. Thanks a lot, Brother Jay. Hold on, and we'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and Black Talk Radio Network.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I got on hold our guest, but before I get to him, I'm going to touch base with Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph, are you there? Brother Ralph, are you there? Okay. Well, let's get to our guest. Brothers and sisters, please welcome Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele. Brother Bashir, how you doing? Brother Bashir. Brother Bashir? Don't tell me we don't have another problem here. I see his number. Brother Bashir?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
You can hear me now. Okay, great. All right.
Hotep
family.
How you doing, dear brother? How are you today?
I'm doing great, brother. Doing great, despite the little technical, small little technical issues we were having just a minute ago. Other than that, I'm doing great, bro.
Right on. Good.
All right. Well, and again, I just want to say Hotep, to you, your listening audience. It's an honor and a pleasure to be a guest on the show today.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you so much. I know that myself particularly, and I know our listeners would love to have the amount of time that we're allotted on this program to have you on to share with you the information that you're going to provide. But I know we will do it again many times in the future, for sure. I know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I used your title that you did from the presentation that you did, you know, and I like that title, you know, Developing African Consciousness for African Liberation. That is what must happen for us. I mean, we can't move unless we know which way to move, you know.
There you go, brother. See? Absolutely.
See? And that's our problem. A lot of us don't want to know. We are perfectly happy in being in this stagnated, catatonic state. We don't want to move, mm-hmm. you know.
That's right.
And as a consequence, all of these negative things will continue to happen to us until we mm-hmm. embrace the knowledge of ourselves, until we come together and develop the consciousness that we need to get us up mm-hmm. out of this madness. And it is madness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, brother. Well, let's take, for example, our big brother, our dear ancestor, respected, one of the most respected black leaders to come out of the African world community, our big brother, Malcolm X, Omar Wali El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. You know, our brother was, before he got the knowledge of self, he was what?
Yeah.
He was a thug, right?
Yeah.
He was a gangster. He was a he was a gambler, right? He did drugs, right? He prostituted women, right? He was in the gutter, like he said in his book, the autobiography of Malcolm X. He said, "I came from the gutter," right?
He processed his hair.
He processed his hair, brother, right? To make it look like white folks, right? The brother hated himself, right? Despite the fact that his parents, right, were Garveyites.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion, but we know, you know, the system broke up the family, and, you know, white supremacists killed his father. So, you know, there were a lot of things that went into the breakup of Brother Malcolm's family. But, you know, Malcolm eventually, you know, ends up in street life, you know, and, you know, as we say today, he becomes a thug, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he ends up in prison. Right. But it was the nation, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that woke him up. And it wasn't necessarily the religious aspect of the nation. It was what? The consciousness, the black consciousness, the African centered consciousness mm-hmm. of the nation. Because when you join the nation, the first thing you learn is what? The knowledge of self. Right. Mm-hmm. the very first lesson you learn when you become a registered member of the Nation of Islam is who is the original
black
man.
Yeah.
All right. That's right. That's the first lesson you learn. Mm-hmm. Right. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that learning the knowledge of yourself is more important than prayer. He said prayer. Now, this is a Muslim. Right. And, you know, in the Muslim community, prayer is very important.
Yes.
Right. But the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that our people are so broken due to white supremacy and systematic racism that we have to do what? We have to teach our people the knowledge of self. So that's more important than anything else. And it impacted Malcolm to such a degree that Malcolm began to do what? Change his whole life. He changed his reading habits. Remember, he struggled with reading, right? But he said, you know what, man? My people created, right, the system of writing in the world, mm-hmm. right? He said, you know what? I'm going to struggle through it. I'm going to struggle through, you know, my reading difficulties.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he began with the dictionary,
that's right?
Right.
He learned the dictionary. The whole dictionary.
Right.
Even at night, just with a crack of light from a hall light in his cell, he would read the dictionary.
Absolutely.
Man, it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Dedication.
He mastered the dictionary. I'm talking about every aspect of it. I'm not talking about just definitions. I'm talking about the etymology of words, the root origin of words. That's why when Brother Mark was on street corners or he was speaking before black people or the world, he would break down the word Negro, right? He said, we're not Negroes. We're black people. We're African people, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He said, when you say Negro, he said, according to the dictionary, right?
Right.
He said, the etymology of the word Negro, right, comes from the root Latin word necro.
Mm-hmm.
Necro means dead, something dead. He said, so when a white man calls us Negro, he's really saying that we're dead people.
Mm.
All right?
Yeah.
And he said, that's not true because our people did what? We created. We're the authors of civilization. All right? See, and let's get to the next aspect of Malcolm's life. When he got a knowledge of self, he began to read everything in the library,
mm-hmm.
particularly history, right? Fascinated with history. Fascinated with the history of the world and the history of black people, of African people, you see? And then Malcolm began to see himself differently. He's I'm not a nigga no more. I'm not a thug,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm a black man. I'm an African, right? And he began to walk differently. He began to talk differently, right? He began to develop a strong level of pride and black dignity, right? And black excellence. He committed himself to black excellence. That's why every time he spoke before the world, he was well read on the issue.
Yeah.
Well read. And all of that stems from what? The knowledge of self.
Right.
If we don't have a knowledge of self, we're gonna believe the racist stereotypes, the racist agenda or propaganda that folks are putting out about black people, about
mm-hmm.
ourselves. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We begin, you know, we think we just, you know, ghetto N words and thugs and bees.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And all these things. And, you know, no, we're greater than that. But it all starts with a knowledge of self. So when I was asked to speak at the NAACP's Irvington Branch Black History Program, and they asked me, they said, well, what would you like to talk about? I said, we gotta start with the knowledge of self.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's missing in 2021. We don't know who we are, and that's why. You hit the nail on the head when you said we gotta know our direction. Like you know, one of the principles of Kwanzaa, Nguzo Saba talks about purpose, Nia.
That's right.
Talks about purpose, Nia. If we don't have a knowledge of self, we don't have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's why there are people like today, right, who are advocating, for example, advocating for Black Lives Matter. But when you ask them, okay, you know, are you about, is your political line Pan-Africanism or Black nationalism? What's your political line? You know, they look at the like, what's the political line?
Yeah.
what's
your direction?
Right.
What are you advocating? What are you promoting?
Right.
Yeah.
Where are we going with
yeah.
this? You know, you're addressing black oppression,
mm-hmm.
okay? But our forefathers and foremothers, right, when the Black Panthers, the original Black Panthers were on the scene, or the US organization were on the scene, or the Republic of New Africa was heavy
mm-hmm.
On the scene, it's still around, but I mean, I'm just saying
right.
when they were in the forefront of black liberation struggle, they had political lines, right? They were taking black people, right? They would they knew where to take them, I should say. They knew which direction they wanted to go, right? And I was under black nationalism, revolutionary black nationalism, or Pan-Africanism, right? Mm-hmm. And or Pan-Africanism.
Right.
Right? We folks not even talking like
no,
that.
No, they're not. They're not.
We saying Black Lives Matter. That's yeah. great. I love the slogan. Believe me. I don't agree with the organization that's out there. I do not agree with that.
No.
You know, their political position.
I don't either. I looked at their website and saw some of the things. Yeah. And I was kind of appalled by it. So I'm definitely not in line with that. You know,
right.
But
right.
I mean.
But I love the slogan.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the slogan resonates with black people because we've been fighting for what? Centuries to make the world and our people respect black humanity. All right. So when you say Black Lives Matter, that hits a pulse in us, and it has hit a pulse, a beat in us. Well, you know what the masses of our people are embracing that slogan. All right. Not the organization, but the slogan, but the organization, the leadership, right, of that organization. Now, you know, they gotta start studying. They gotta start reading books. You know, developing the knowledge of self as well. All right, so we can determine what's going to be our line. All right, how do we liberate black people from black oppression? You know, but again, it all starts with the knowledge of self. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing who we are as black people, and some people may downplay that, but that's a major development in a human being, knowing who you are.
See,
all right?
As you said, it reminded me of Drusilla Dungy Houston, who wrote the book wrote the book in 1926, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire.
Kushites.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the work that we're looking at today was mm-hmm. done by our ancestors diligently, mm-hmm. seriously. When you look at the work that J.A. Rogers did, of course, Dr. Clark, and all those many other great men and women, but mm-hmm. Drusilla Dungy Houston had a quote that to me is so profound. And she said this in 1926, the same year that Carter G. Mm-hmm. Woodson started Negro History Week, you know, 1926. She said, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal mm-hmm. of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship mm-hmm. in our race can dare not refute. And this is the most powerful point of the quote. She says, how can the leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? That's deep. I'm telling you. And Brother Bashir, you still have cats in leadership have no idea. They believe that our captivity was our beginning. That we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having done anything, and nothing could be furthest from the truth.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know?
No, brother, go ahead. You teach it now, brother.
Well, yeah. No, I'm with you, man. We're with each other on this, man, because we recognize that for us, the most important thing, the most important step for us is first to acknowledge who we are. And once we know who we are, then now we know what we must do and the areas and the direction that we must go, you know, as a people, as African mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. you know. I just even mentioned, I say it all the time, what this program is about. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, mm-hmm. and sovereignty for African people.
That's right.
Our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. Nothing else.
That's right, absolutely.
We got some callers. Some folks hanging on. Yeah, we got some callers. If you want to, we got them already on top here. If you hit star twice, you get a chance to talk to my good brother, Bashir Muhammad Akinyele. He is an educator out of Newark, columnist. You read his columns in the Your Black World, the Atlanta Black Star, many other publications. He also is a member of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC, as well as myself. And so his brother's well-versed, and I'm glad to have him on and hope to have him on again because we need more than a half an hour, brother.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, big brother.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, 334. Good afternoon. 334. Good afternoon. Okay. I'll put you back on hold. Oh, right?
Okay.
So nobody else. But, yeah, you know, so really, You know, I've committed and dedicated, you know, my life. I've been, you know, growing up, I came up out of the 60s. I know me and you are about the same age, you know.
Right.
And coming up out of the 60s, and that was the awakening point for a lot of us. A lot of us, some of, okay, maybe he's ready now. 334. 334. 334. Okay.
Uh-oh. Must
be something wrong, but I had to mute him, because in that way, if I don't mute him, that comes on, then they'll get all kind of background noise and so forth, and then sometimes they'll just hang up and call back. But I know I got a good one here, 646. 646, good afternoon.
Hotep, Brother Bashir, how are you, my good brother?
Hotep, Hotep, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, my brother. Listen, I just wanted to ask you, since we got you on the air, how are things going in Newark with the school system right now with this remote learning and, you know, all of the talk of the young people not logging in and, you know, dropping out and things of that nature? How is it looking for our children?
Well, no, in Newark, brother, we're struggling through quarantine, you know. The Newark Public Schools, first of all, has a dynamic superintendent, Roger Leon, Latino brother, but very, very committed to Black and Latino empowerment, all right? And he's provided, as well as the local schools, all the schools underneath him, they provided all kinds of resources, man, to make sure students are logged into their classes. I mean, literally, like, they gave every single student in the city of Newark a laptop if they needed one. Students were given laptops, right? And they have counseling services for students. I mean, even teachers are going out their way, all right, to make sure that students are logged in to their classes, all right, for remote learning, all right. And like I said, this is a temporary thing. I mean, you know, I believe the creator and the ancestors, all right, Ibaye Ashe to the ancestors, that we're going to, you know, get past this pandemic, brother, you know. But at the same time, you know, we're talking about Pan-Africanism, we're talking about Black nationalism. We as Black people, right, still must take it upon ourselves to make sure that our children are adequately educated. Now, we were struggling with that, my brother, you know, before the pandemic. We were relying a lot on the school system, whether it's charter or public. We were relying on the school system to educate our children. That's something that, you know, I believe is a mistake for many of us. We have to, you know, yes, we send our kids to school. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, but when they come home, right?
Yeah.
You know, we have to deprogram, okay? Mm-hmm. To deprogram,
yeah.
Right? You know, and if we're not doing that in our homes, we don't have the conscious levels or the knowledge of self to do that, right? Right, Brother Oshie? We don't have that level of African awareness, right? Our community should be providing what? Weekend schools, after schools, African-centered weekend schools, African-centered after-school programs, right, to teach our children what the school system is not teaching our schools. Now, I'm not saying that the school system, that we should not demand that the schools educate our children. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we have to be clear on the fact that the schools are not controlled by African people, by Black people.
That's right.
All right.
Well, that's where you may be slightly wrong out of the sense.
Right.
It's our responsibility, honestly, to educate our children into being African. Now the school system is going to educate you into being a Negro pig if you have any form of intelligence, you know, because their job is to get you to do what? Serve them. Now, as an African people, it's our job to get us to serve us. It's right. just like we've now at this point, those of us who are not scented, who are these, as I refer to, Negro peas, have metamorphosed into nothing more than condoms for the white men. That's all they really are. The protection for the white man when he's doing his dirt. And unfortunately, we don't realize it. It's just like this whole thing with the vaccination. Now, I don't know. I've heard this, but I don't know if it's true. They're going to try and make it mandated that people like yourself are going to have to take that vaccination in order to be able to continuously work in the school system. And from what I heard, the Jew is backing it. So I don't know if you're facing that at this time. And, that's a real serious decision for an African, pan-African nationalist like yourself, because I don't think or I don't believe that you or your family, based on the history that you know of, may take that vaccination. Now, I don't know, you may. But, I mean, seriously, if you notice how you've always said when I've read your stuff, the propaganda in play, that they won't even give us the information about alternative things to use instead of taking the vaccination. But I'll leave it right there. And, Oshie, you could put me on mute and get some other people to talk to this great African brother, man. He's a great African.
He is.
Let me tell you, I always see his Facebook posting, you know what I mean? And I just get a chuckle, you know what I mean? Because he's always dropping what it is to be an African and how to become one.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
Sante Sana, brother. Sante Sana, my brother. Well, humble, and inspired by your words, brother.
Well, I agree because I've read some of your columns on this program that have been the basis of discussion for that day.
Oh, wow.
So, so I appreciate. I appreciate it. Either from Your Black World or Atlanta Black Star, wherever.
Definitely. Patch.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, brother. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, brother. Listen, we gotta raise the conscious levels of our people, brother. You know? And, I was thinking when the brother was speaking, I was thinking about how, you know, again, we have to practice self-determination, brother. You know, we have to struggle to determine, you know, our own reality, you know, and not be so much dependent upon, you know, our oppressors, the system, the whole nine yards. Like I said, I don't have a problem with people. I do not have a problem with people making, you know, city hall or the state legislator or state house or Congress or city hall. I don't, you know, or the school system. I don't have a problem with any of that. Any of those struggles making, you know, the government accountable to people. That's something that we must do, you know, being Africans in America, you know, but at the same time, we have to build our own institutions. We have to struggle with our people, struggle with our people to help all of us determine our own destiny, brother. And that's the spirit of Pan-Africanism, you know?
Right.
That's the spirit of Black nationalism, you know? That's what it's all about, you know? And some of us are afraid, brother, you know, we're afraid to say these terms in 2021, by the way. We're afraid to say Black nationalism. We're afraid to say Pan-Africanism.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
I mean, folks, and because we're afraid to say it, I think there's such a job on our struggle.
That's right.
And that's one reason why we can't, you know, we're afraid to say it. Because, you know, the system did a job. I mean, we just watched. I mean, some of our people were, for the first time, exposed to the assassination of Fred Hampton, right, by the government, by the FBI, by the local and state police. A lot of our people were like, wow, they really did this, you know? And I'm like, yes, you know? To many of our leaders, they neutralized, they killed many of our leaders and our organization. And not only did they stop with that, Brother Oshie, brother, they work to discredit. I mean, it's in writing. It's in Cointelpro papers, y'all. Mm-hmm. You know, for all you, you know, you got some heavyweights on this show. So if you want to read about it, it's called The Cointelpro Papers. You can read that book, right? And in the book, it talks about how the government had to work to discredit black nationalism. I mean, the ideology of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ideology, the idea of black nationalism had to be wiped from the planet Earth. You know what I'm saying?
It's the same. It's the same that they have. It's the same that they have with Black Lives Matter, or what they now call Black Identity Extremism. It's the same thing.
That's right.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
And as you can see,
absolutely,
you had some leadership who have been killed, you know, mysteriously.
Right.
The two brothers,
right,
that was in Black with Black Lives Matter, and another brother who was a staunch proponent and advocate. So we have another caller.
Right.
We have another caller. 334-334. You ready now?
Yeah, I'm ready, Brother Oshie. I was running into some technical difficulties myself. Brother Bashir, good day to you, sir. It's a pleasure to hear from you. The question I have is that, you know, functional illiteracy has really put a dent into our community. Is there or are there ways that we really need to consciously be aware of the inequities that are lying persistent within our community to overcome this and be able to get on the track to Pan-Africanism?
Wow, brother. Well, brother, you know, like we do in ASCAT, you know, we create study groups, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We create study groups in the neighborhood, in the community, man, to challenge our people to read, all right?
Uh-huh.
Because unfortunately, with this, with this love for the internet, I mean, you know, and internet could be positive and negative, but unfortunately, a lot of our people are relying too heavily on the internet, all right? On YouTube videos, right? On Facebook, on Instagram, you know, without fact checking, all right? You know, everything, I always tell my students, everything that's on the internet is not true, all right? But unfortunately, many of our people, because we don't like to read, we accept on face value that what's being put out on the internet is absolutely the truth. So we got to encourage our people to read, all right? And I know for many people that's a struggle, but we got to encourage our people. We got to do study groups. If we're on social media, list books, man. Talk about books. Talk about reading, all right? Okay? That's what we need to do. You got a YouTube video. If you have a YouTube channel, you know, spend some time talking about literacy. Talk about, you know, the need for us to read. But this is when, you know, this is when you look at things from an African-centered perspective. You know, you mentioned Brother Malcolm. Brother Malcolm said that you, in his autobiography, he said that you would not catch a day without a book in his hand. That's what he said. He said, I always have some reading material, right? Something that I can use to help liberate the mind of the black man. Right, that's what he said in his autobiography. So we need to use these examples like that. All right, Malcolm still is respected in the streets, brother. You know, Malcolm still is respected in the world. Okay,
right.
So we need to use Brother Malcolm like that. That ancestor still is speaking to us. You know, and Malcolm made, from what the elders told me, and some of them are ancestors now. They said Malcolm was the one that made it cool for me to read. That's what they said, you know.
Okay.
And just like the original, we can use the original Black Panther Party, right? What was one of the biggest things they required from the community? Reading. That's what they did, right?
Uh-huh.
Many of the members of the original Black Panther Party, brother, cast straight off the block, brother, were well-read brothers and sisters. Why? Because the Black Panthers required and challenged, I should say, challenged and required black people to read.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh.
You know? They made it cool to read, brother. So we got to use some of these examples, man, to encourage our people to read.
And Brother Bashir, not to sound as though, and one of the things I do not want to do is blame the victim. But in the process, though, of this maturing, one has to admit to one's own self that they don't have all of the answers, and that there's some things that they themselves need to do. So, you know, and that's why I kind of wonder if people are really, I know they have, we have the internet, we have, you know, all of these technological things in place, but could an individual at the individual level admit to him or herself first that they do not have all of the, then start this process of jumping off into knowing thyself?
That's right, brother. Well, you know, brother, you know, again, one of the principles, well, many of the principles, the seven principles of Nguzu Saba, right? Of Mwanza, talks about us working together, right?
Yes.
Coming together, collectively coming together. There's some of us, like you said, don't have all the answers, all right? We just don't, right? But we can we can link up with some of our people who may have some expertise in a particular field that we can use to help liberate our people, you know? And you know, and that's something that, that's a whole nother conversation, but we struggle with that even, brother. I mean, so much, you know, brother, you know, white supremacy and systematic racism and oppression has created such divisions in our community, right?
Yes.
That we are afraid to work together as black people, brother. Brother, on a high, deep level plane, I mean, when we go out our home sometimes, we don't even talk to one another, you know? You know, hey, how you doing? Hey, we just keep on walking now, brother.
True. That is so true, sir.
I'm serious, brother. We struggle with that, you know? Just saying good morning and good afternoon. How you doing? You know, we mean mugging each other, you know what I'm saying? What that Negro doing around here? That Negro just said good morning to me, you know?
Yeah.
Why are you talking to me, you know? I mean, that's where we at right now, brother, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, but again, going back to the knowledge of self, brother, acquiring the knowledge of self. I'm not talking about something that's deep. You start on something small, right? Like you know, the cradle of humanity, right? You know, we could start with that Africa is the motherland because it is where civilization started from, right? It's where humanity, civilization, and religions. We can't forget about the you know, religions also evolved out of Africa, right? So we could start with that, you know? And so where you get that from? And Brother Oshie was listing books. I mean, there's so many books, but, you know, my brother, our great ancestor, Dr. John Henry Clark, he's got a little simple book. It's only 85 pages, brother. Right, it's called African People and World History. We can start with that.
Yeah,
we can start with that right there. You know,
very good,
and that'll help us get a knowledge of self. But it's only 85 pages. Bro.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I had a book list when I used to work with young people back in Milwaukee in the Milwaukee public school system, and to help raise their knowledge because I was saying to them in public school system, and hey, you're not gonna hold on.
Yeah, brother. So that's what we need to do, my brother. You still there, brother?
Yes, I'm still here, Brother Bashir.
Okay, yeah, brother.
And one other quick question, if you could, to repeat the name of that book you mentioned about the government against Pan-Africanism again. I could hardly get
you. It's called The COINTELPRO Papers.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got you.
All right, The COINTELPRO Papers. You got it? That book. If you buy a laptop, you can actually Google it. You know, it's I think the author's a War Churchill. And I forget the author's name, but the book is COINTELPRO Papers, and in the book it has all the memorandums that were put out by the FBI in terms of their surveillance of black leaders and black organizations. Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah, brother. Serious book, brother.
Yeah.
Serious book.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem, brother. You're welcome.
Well, thank you.
It's a pleasure talking with you, Brother Bashir. Thank you, Brother Oshie.
Always, Brother Lutz. Appreciate you, man. And I know you go through a lot to listen to this program and to call in, and I thank you for that, man. I really do.
And thank you. Thank you so very much for your patience. But I best believe I'm going to chime in.
Okay. Right
because
on,
and let me just say this before you go. It's programs like this. And what Brother Richard and Brother Elliot, man, I wish they would have had this some 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it's programs such as yours and others of a part of this Black Talk Radio Network that is so highly needed, bro. Yeah. It really is.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely.
Ashe. Ashe.
All Absolutely. Right, brother Lust. Thank you, man. Have a good weekend, brother. Peace.
You too. Peace.
All right. Hotep. Yeah. Hotep, my brother.
Hotep. Yeah.
Yeah, brother Oshie. Your show is absolutely important in terms of, you know, Black liberation, brothers, you know. I mean, there's very few shows like African Perspectives that are out there that are, you know, that are raising the conscious levels of our people, brother. You know, so, you know, big props to you, brother Oshie. Big props, you know.
Well, you know, I'm committed, man, you know. I'm dedicated every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. This program will be on unless there's some extenuating circumstances, you know, for whatever reason, right. You know. But or even at that, my good brother Kwaku will put on a previous program, maybe, you know, put on another program of me and you on it. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
That's great.
Right.
The bottom line is that, you know, we're at war. We're at war for the minds of our people. This is a serious Absolutely. Battle. You know, and I know that we're dealing with an evil entity that has all of the technology, all of the advantages at their disposal. And so for us, this platform and others like it, you know, are so vitally necessary. And I applaud them. I applaud all those who even take the chance. Some earlier, Brother Jay, brother from New York, he mentioned we were talking a little bit about the vaccine and so forth. He talked about Malik Muhammad, talked about others and so forth. And he mentioned that, of course, you can't get people like that on various programs, you know.
And
I know you've been on Carl Nelson's program, you know.
Right.
And I know he takes some heat.
You're right, brother.
I know he takes some heat. You know. Because number one, I remember when I first started doing radio way back about 30 years ago. I'm a retired firefighter, but I was one of the local stations in Milwaukee went talk, and one of the brothers who was one of the managers, he allowed me and another African-centered brother to come on the program, you know, once a week, man, for a couple hours, once a week. And so the manager said, "Hey, get them cats off, man. Shit, they gonna mess up our money. We might not be able to get that white money when these cats are talking."
Yeah, brother. I know, because like you said, brother, there's a battle for the minds of African people, brother. All right.
Yeah.
That's serious. You know, they want to keep us miseducated, misguided, so they can continue, so the system continue its exploitation and oppression of our people, brother, you know. And so that's why I say I respect brothers like yourself who are using, you know, radio or using the internet, right, creating all kinds of podcasts, right, all kinds of stream shows on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you know, to wake our people up, brother, because it's a battle.
It like is.
It's a battle.
It's
war. You know,
it is.
It's war out here.
It is. Yes, it know? Is.
And you know what the internet, if the internet is not miseducating us, then we got school systems in our neighborhoods that are miseducating us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we got to demand. You know, there's a struggle in many you know, oppressed Black communities, oppressed African communities. People are waging war against the school system to demand that the school system be accountable to the community, especially, you know, the infusing of Black history into the curriculum. You know. And that's something that we were doing in Newark, and thank God that, you know, we, you know, our agenda, one of our agendas in terms of getting the school system to adhere to teaching Black studies, Black history, African history, Africana studies into the school social studies curriculum, right? That has happened in Newark.
Yeah.
That has happened in Newark.
Well, listen,
right?
Listen, my
brother. Still got a long way to go, but that has happened.
Yeah. Listen, my brother, I have to go because I'm a part of the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, and we have our conference, and I'm going to do libation.
Oh, wow.
So I'm up. You know, nothing starts before libation happens, so I'm up. And I just want to thank you once again. I'll communicate with you. Hopefully we can work out another date where you can come on and give us that amount of time that I know everybody really who's listening would definitely want to have or want to hear, You know, so anytime, once again,
anytime, brother,
brothers and sisters, I want to thank Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele.
Oh, thank you, Asante, brother.
And I look to work with you soon, my brother. Peace, my brother.
All right, peace. Hotep.
We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivivhorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.